the State of Florida Sports Podcast, presented by the USA Today Network. Here's your host, Tim Walters.
Are the Jacksonville Jaguars in trouble? Or can they weather a late-season slew of injuries as they cling to a lead in the AFC South? 2 weeks ago, the Jaguars looked poised to take over the top spot in the AFC. Now they just want to win their division and get quarterback Trevor Lawrence and the rest of their MASH unit healthy. This weekend, the Jaguars are on Sunday Night Football for the first time since October 5th, 2008. They play the AFC's top team in the Baltimore Ravens. Demetrius Harvey of the Florida Times Union in Jacksonville will join me in just a moment to help me break down this game and give the latest injury updates and much more. Hello again, everybody. I'm Tim Walters, and thank you once again for joining me on the State of Florida Sports Podcast, powered by the USA Today Network. This podcast utilizes our Florida Sports Network of beat writers, columnists, and some special guests to bring you up to speed on the most important sports topics. Our Florida network consists of 17 news sites that encompass the state. We encourage you to subscribe to your hometown newspaper and, of course, this podcast to help support the incredible journalism done by our talented staffs. It's been a long time since the Jaguars were featured on a Sunday night. Let's hear what we should expect with Demetrius Harvey. Demetrius, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, it's good to be back.
Absolutely. Fresh off your trip from the cold Rust Belt up there in Ohio, where the Jaguars just lost to the Cleveland Browns this past weekend. But, you know, let's start with Jacksonville's quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. You know, obviously he hurts his ankle on Monday Night Football, plays 6 days later. Didn't look like it affected him all that much against the Browns. It looked like there were some other problems there. So what can you tell us about his injury, if it did hinder him at all, and how do you expect him to look against the Ravens on Sunday night?
Yeah, you know, I was going into the week, I was very, you know, 50-50 on if he would even play. It just looked like a bad injury. He didn't look in good shape in the locker room after the game against the Bengals. It's a shortish week. Everything was kind of stacked against him. They came out and said it was a high ankle sprain. Usually a high ankle sprain, players are not playing for at least a couple weeks, but, you know, sometimes quite longer, and sometimes they need surgery. So, you know, from what I've been told and from what, you know, how, you know, I'm not a doctor or anything, but how high ankle sprains are, you know, described to me is that, you know, anything above the knob on your ankle, I guess, is a high ankle sprain. And so, you know, his was not super high on the above the knob. And saying that is, you know, once you get super high, it starts to impact your, you know, your tibia and anything else in your leg in terms of the bones. And so he avoided major injuries is basically what it boils down to. And it showed against the Browns yesterday. You know, it was a situation where he came in and didn't look hindered at all. He was even running around sometimes. You know, he didn't run as much as I think he would have if he didn't have the injury. But it didn't look like it limited him. He came out of the game saying that he felt fine, that he didn't re-injure it, he didn't aggravate it. So, you know, he felt okay. And, you know, going up against the Ravens this week, you know, it's a fast defense. It's one that, you know, has been able to get after the quarterback a lot this year, and so it's going to be a challenge. He's going to have to move around a pretty good bit, but if what he was able to do against the Browns is any indication, it shouldn't hinder him too much this coming Sunday, just because of, you know, what he was able to show. You know, he's able to run, he's able to do all the little things that, you know, seem to be effective. He was able to pass the ball well, so I don't think it's going to impact him pretty much at all.
Well, you were up there in Cleveland. How cold was cold? And do you think that that's something that also affected them? Because the Jaguars quite often don't seem to play all that well when it's a little blustery, it's a little bit cold. I mean, Trevor had 3 interceptions. You know, there were some other opportunities missed. So do you think weather, I didn't really read much about them mentioning it, but do you think that some of that could have played a factor into it?
Maybe a little. It really wasn't that cold, Tim. It was like, I think the wind was blowing at 12 miles per hour. It wasn't bad. it was like 39 degrees at kickoff. It wasn't raining at all. So to me, the weather didn't really play a factor. It didn't look like people were, you know, getting, you know, wrapped up a lot. And in fact, I was actually watching on the sideline, and there's a trainer or assistant, whatever you want to say. He was holding up a coat for either Parker Washington or Evan Engram, somebody, and they didn't take it. So, you know, it wasn't one of those, you know, blistering days in Cleveland that you see this time of the year, or maybe a little bit later, or even Green Bay, where it can be in the negatives sometimes. So, yeah, I don't think that it affected them too much yesterday.
All right. Well, you can say 39 degrees isn't cold, but I will disagree with you there. But I've been made fun of for being a Florida boy, so, you know.
That's fair. I am too, and I'll say 39 degrees is cold for me. I just figure, you know, they're running around. Maybe it's not that bad.
There you go. Well, if people are wondering what it's going to be like in Jacksonville on Sunday night, it's actually right now the extended forecast showing it might be a little bit ugly out there, somewhere around 60 degrees, which isn't bad, but it could be rain showers at night, a little bit windy. So we'll have to kind of keep an eye on that as the week develops. But, you know, like you say, probably not something that affected it too much. But, you know, now let's talk about more about this game Sunday night. Now, the Jaguars, they just broke a drought where they hadn't been on Monday Night Football in 12 years. Well, their Sunday Night Football drought even longer, October 5th, 2008. So who did they play way back then, and what happened there?
Yeah, you know, obviously I don't necessarily remember the game or anything like that, but, you know, they played the Steelers. They lost 26-21. And yeah, it's interesting, and we can get into this now, but it's been so long since they played played on Sunday Night Football. It's been so long that the only player that is even in the NFL still, from at least from what the box score shows, is Mercedes Lewis, the tight end for the Jaguars, who, you know, they drafted in the first round in 06, and now he's with the Chicago Bears this year. And, you know, he's getting up there in age. He's 39, I believe. But every other player that I'm looking at on this list is not in the NFL. They're either retired or whatever happened. You know, guys like Mike Sims Walker for the Jaguars, Matt Jones, Maurice Jones-Drew, Fred Taylor, David Garrard. You know, all these guys were playing significant snaps. Mike Peterson, Paul Spicer, John Henderson, who's using a cane right now. I mean, it's crazy to see, you know, just how many players or just how long it's been since they've been in the spotlight. NBC, I guess, hasn't really shown Jacksonville love for very long. Not that they should have because of the losses, but, you know, hey, you know, now is their opportunity, I guess, to come back on Sunday Night Football and, I guess, show why they should be on it.
Yeah, it's a trip down memory lane, especially when you look at the other side of the box score with the Steelers. Of course, that was around the time where they're winning Super Bowls, and you have Ben Roethlisberger and Ryan Clark and Hines Ward and Santonio Holmes. So, you know, were you in high school when that game took place, Demetrius? Because 15 years ago, let's see, I was in my my eighth year of my career back then. I'm 47, and you're a pretty young guy, right?
Yeah, I'm a young guy. So I was, I'm trying to think if I was either in eighth or ninth grade that year, just to give you some perspective. And I was definitely watching the team. I mean, I was in Jacksonville, you know, so yeah, it's crazy. I mean, Deshae Townsend, who's the Jaguars cornerbacks coach or defensive backs coach right now, he is, he was on the Steelers, you know, it's crazy to look at. And I remember watching, I remember vividly seeing Deshae Townsend playing for the Steelers. I remember Ike Clark, Ike Taylor, sorry. And Ryan Clark, you know, all these guys. And so it's really interesting to take a look back, and maybe this weekend will be a little bit better.
Yeah. Well, if people are wondering, for instance, Parker Washington, the rookie wide receiver on the Jaguars, He was six when that game took place. So he was in, what is that, maybe first grade?
Yeah, they they've skipped generations of Jaguar players in order to get them on Sunday Night Football again.
Well, I tell you what, we get to see a great game because, of course, the Ravens are coming in. They have the best record in the AFC. They feature Lamar Jackson, who's easily having his best season since his MVP campaign in 2019. You know, they pulled off an exciting win on Sunday, where in overtime they return a kick for the game-winning touchdown. So, you know, how do you think that the Jaguars are going to game plan for the dual-threat quarterback that Lamar Jackson is?
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna guess that they're gonna kind of deploy what they did last year, which was a three safety look. So you're gonna, depending on the status of Andre Sisco, who I think I just saw was dealing with a groin injury, depending on the status of him, you know, it's gonna be interesting to see what they do there. But you know, Andrew Winger, Daniel Thomas, probably gonna get significant snaps. I don't know if they're gonna have a spy on Lamar, but I imagine they might. Maybe a Devin Lloyd or someone like that could take that role. But yeah, they're gonna be keying in on him. I mean, he's incredible. I don't know if you mentioned it, but he's their leading rusher right now, which is usually crazy to say, but you know, with this Ravens team and how they're built, it makes sense. And so yeah, it's gonna be tough to defend him. And you know, he's not just a runner, like, and that's the thing. Like, you know, he's a fantastic runner. You know, he got 70 yards last week or on Sunday on the ground, but he also got 300 yards through the air, so he can pass the ball too. And this is gonna be the most challenging quarterback that they've yet to face, and we've seen how they've done against, you know, not so great quarterbacks, in my opinion. So, you know, it's going to be a tough game for the Jaguars defense.
Yeah, you mentioned he actually wasn't the team's leading rusher until Sunday. He surpassed Gus Edwards. The Ravens are the top rushing team in the NFL with Lamar at 644. He's tied for 23rd in the league. Gus Edwards is next on the team with 605. He's 30th in the league. So this is a team where they got a lot of guys who are running, and they're accruing, I think it's around 2,000 yards to be the leading rushing team in the NFL. So, you know, the Jaguars, they've been solid against the run. Really, the one game that really stood out where they struggled was that Cincinnati game on Monday night a couple of weeks ago. But you're like you said, they have not dealt with a quarterback that rushes like Jackson, certainly. So, you know, they also struggled against the pass the last couple of weeks. So do you think they're going to play a little bit more conservative run-based defense to try and keep him honest? Or do you think they're still going to put the emphasis on the pass game because they've been getting torched too?
Yeah, it's a tough challenge. It's why the Ravens are 10-3 right now. I mean, it's really tough to defend them, and I think the Jaguars are going to defend the run. They're gonna sell out against the run. You know, and they're gonna hope that their defensive backs can sort of, you know, hold up in coverage. And I'm not trying to do a callback to the hope defense stuff that George Pickens did, but literally, you do have to just hope that everything sort of works out in the back end, because you have to be able to be stout up front. If you let them be able to run the ball, and not make mistakes through the air, which Lamar has, you know, done in the past, you know, it's gonna be a tough day. So you have to be able to stop the run. Once you do that, then everything else should fall into place. And if it doesn't, then, you know, obviously it's going to be a long day.
Yeah, and you know, if you go back and look through the Jaguars' schedule this year, they've actually played pretty well against the good quarterbacks they've played. It's the other quarterbacks who have kind of gotten to them, and they're 0 for Ohio after losing the two backup quarterbacks 2 weeks in a row. So, you know, it's going to be fun to see how they go about that. Now, let's look at the offense, because here was where some things, and you know, in my prediction this week for the game against the Browns, I actually chose the Browns to win, and I said one of the things was going to be how the offense is going to look a little discombobulated, because when you don't have Christian Kirk, he's kind of your engine that makes things go. He's the safety valve. He's the guy that's always open. He's the one that always runs the right route. You know, Parker Washington, he fills in adamantly, but he's a rookie. He's you know, just getting his start in the NFL. He also had, you know, a pretty costly mistake. So, you know, talk about how this offense is going to be gelling with, you know, the rookie making his second start, with Trevor healing in the ankle. And then, of course, Calvin Ridley, he's kind of been non-existent from time to time. So just go through the offense a little bit.
Yeah, it's really tough. Losing Christian is easily their biggest blow of the season. I mean, that he and Trevor have, you know, they almost share a brain, is sort of how I describe it, just because of the chemistry they have. Very rarely will you see them, you know, off schedule or not in sync. I can't even tell you the last time I remember, you know, one play where Trevor threw it and Christian wasn't where he thought he was going to be. So, you know, that's tough. And that's something where a quarterback will try to lean on another receiver to do just that. And, you know, that's something that he tried to do with Calvin. It did not work out on Sunday. It just didn't. You know, he had 13 targets and 4 catches for 53 yards. That's terrible. And I'm sure he would agree. And Zay Jones, the same thing. He had, I think, 14 targets and only 4 catches, something like that. You know, so, you know, Trevor is trying, and not to put blame on both of them entirely. Trevor had, you know, some bad balls, a couple overthrows, and inconsistent in terms of accuracy. But, you know, those plays that they need to be able to make, the first interception that Calvin and Trevor were sort of out of sync on, that could have been avoided had Ridley been able to be, you know, looking, if he had looked at Trevor, you know, after the play. Trevor, you know, gave him that look at my eyes sort of motion. And you know, so that's sort of the things that they're going to have to work out. And it's the first week back. Trevor didn't practice fully last week in terms of the practice reps. So they kind of went in a little cold in terms of figuring out what they're doing without Kirk. And so the results were what they were. And I think that, you know, moving forward, you know, everyone wants to sort of give up on Calvin already. This guy's he's missed 2 years of a full NFL season, basically. You know, he barely played in 21 and then didn't play at all in 22. And he comes in here, and I get he's a veteran receiver. He's had 14 weeks to get it to work. But really, he hasn't been put in this position. It's been all Christian Kirk in terms of that. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. I think we'll see a lot more Evan Engram, you know, maybe some more Travis Etienne in the pass game. But you know, absolutely, the Kirk injury hurts them the most, and it came at the worst time that it could have.
Yeah, definitely, because he will not be back, and if they make the playoffs, that is a large person to lose. But, you know, the two people that really did benefit the most, you mentioned Evan Engram and fantasy football owners who started Evan Engram because he had a monster game with 11 catches, 95 yards, and the couple of touchdowns there. So, you know, also when it comes to the run, now the Ravens, they're only a middle-of-the-pack team when it comes to that. But the Jaguars, especially, you know, against the Browns, they did not run all that well. Etienne started out pretty fast, but then things just kind of disappeared as the game went on, and he hasn't been over 100 yards since week 5, even though he had that run of games with 2 touchdowns per game. So what do you expect out of the run game here against the Ravens? Is that something you think they'll go to early, or are they just going to, you know, come out trying to blow the doors off of them?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, they rank 24th, I think, in the run game, and it's been like sort of on a downward trend throughout the season. You know, it started pretty okay and pretty good, and then it sort of started trickling down. You know, they have a couple of spurts, you know, here and there, but lately it's been just a completely downward trend, and I think that a lot of it has to do with, you know, their lack of Walker Little or Cam Robinson. You know, both of their premier players at left tackle and at left guard, you know, and so having to play backup offensive linemen doesn't help. Not to say that, you know, when those guys were in, they were just, you know, balling, but still, you know, those kind of injuries can affect, you know, how Travis can run, where he goes. And he also admitted yesterday or on Sunday that he just didn't play well. I mean, he has to do a better job for his offensive linemen. He has to hit the hole the right way. He has to trust them. He has to be able to see where he needs to go. You know, try to get the small yards rather than try to get a home run every single run. So, you know, it's a combination. I do put it more on the offensive line just because we've seen Travis succeed when the holes open up, and we've seen how this offensive line works for any running back in this system, just because of what we've seen from Tank Bigsby, D'Ernest Johnson, guys like that. You know, they haven't been good on third and short or second and short or any short yardage in terms of running the ball. Even at the goal line, it's almost like you'd rather them not be at the goal line, because, you know, at least if you're not, you have a chance to pass the ball a little bit better because of the space. But now if you're at the one, you almost have to run. So it's a struggle. And I think that still, with saying all of that, I do think that against the Ravens, like you said, they're not the absolute best team against the run. They're more of a really good pass defense. You know, I do think that they will come out trying to run the ball, and you know, Doug and Press have never gone away from running the football, even when it doesn't work. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if they just come out of the gate running and trying to see if it works and sticking with it if it does.
Yeah, now let's look at kind of the implications of Baltimore at Jacksonville as far as the playoffs go, because the Ravens, you know, they're up there at the top. Jaguars are 2 games behind them. Obviously, you've got the Dolphins there. But you know, if they can beat the Ravens, and we'll talk about the remaining schedule in a minute, you know, there's still at least a sliver of hope for that top spot. But first, you got to have this game. So how big would you say in the grand scheme of things is Baltimore at Jacksonville?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge game, and I say that only because I think that it's necessary for them to sort of get rolling in order to defeat these last three teams. You know, you look at it, and you know, Tampa Bay, they're struggling. They have a lot of holes on their team. Their defense hasn't been playing well this year. Baker Mayfield is very inconsistent, and as are their entire offense. So you know, that shouldn't be as tough as you would think in a normal year. The same thing with the Panthers, a you know, terrible team right now. I mean, they fired their quarter or their head coach. And then obviously the Titans, you know, they've already beaten them. So yeah, you know, those three games are supposed to be the sort of gimmies. But if you come out of this game, you know, you expended all the energy, you come out of it with another bad loss, that could, you know, affect momentum. It could affect your mentality heading into the next one. Like, yeah, you know, it's a must win game. But you've just suffered three straight losses, which is what it would be. And so, you know, you're sort of on the downward trend. And are you going to be the Titans of last year where they started 7-3 and we saw what happened? Or are you going to be a team that can actually overcome all the different things that are going on, all the distractions, all the injuries, and sort of, you know, rise to the occasion? I think that's what makes this Baltimore Ravens game important, is that you need to have momentum heading into this final stretch. I know that it doesn't look very tough, but it's any given Sunday. We've seen plenty of teams beat teams that you scratch your head at. I think Arizona beat the Cowboys at one point this season. So yeah, it's a tough one, but it's definitely a must win still. It's very important.
Yeah, I mean, look, the AFC South could get really tight. There's only one game separating the Colts, the Texans, and the Jaguars. However, let's look at that schedule. You mentioned they have the Buccaneers, who's actually their playoff team right now and could, for the second year in a row, make the playoffs as a sub-500 team. So maybe we need to banish the NFC South to the land of wind and fire. But then you have the Panthers, who are also in that awful South. And then you have the Titans, who are having a down year. But when you look at their competition, you know, the Texans, they have two games against bad teams, against the Titans twice, actually, and they have the Browns. And then Indy, they've got, you know, they're the other team in contention. They've got the Steelers, who are certainly having their struggles and lost Kenny Pickett, the Falcons, who are dreadful, and the Raiders, who just got beat 3-0 by the Vikings. So it sounds like if the Jags don't at least go 3-1, they also could lose the division.
Yeah, they could. They could. They absolutely could. You know, I think they have, I don't want to say luck, but you know, with the injuries to the Texans, you know, CJ Stroud banged up, Nico Collins banged up, Tank Dell obviously out, Will Anderson hurt, a couple other guys, you know. So with the Texans sort of battling their own series of attrition, it would be tough, you know, depending on the health of those guys, to see them win all three, or all four, I should say. And you know, with the Colts, it's definitely an easier schedule, but I also think the Colts are one of those teams where if another team had them on their schedule, you would say, oh, that's a pretty easy schedule too. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. And I don't necessarily think the Colts are going to, you know, win out, but you're right in that the Jaguars can't lose two more games in a row. I mean, they just can't. They can't, especially if they lose this Sunday, they can't lose any of the three games, because you never know. You think the Texans won't be able to do it, but you just never know. So if you go into those last 2 weeks and you are basically a game up or a half game up, whatever it may be, you could start getting scared and worried that, hey, maybe this team might not make the playoffs. There's a lot of teams vying for those, you know, 5, 6, and 7 wild card spots. They might not even make it if they don't win those last three games. So yeah, it's absolutely a tough stretch, and those guys do have some beatable opponents coming up.
Yeah, now you saw the game last year with the Ravens where the Jaguars were in Baltimore, and that game was just one of the more entertaining games, I think, of the entire NFL season. The Jaguars going for two at the end of the game rather than kicking the game-tying extra point, and they got it to win 28-27. These teams are still, you know, they're both very similar to the makeup of last year. Obviously, the Jaguars have their own injuries aside from Kirk, And, you know, really the Ravens do too, and they've got one of their main weapons, Mark Andrews, out. So, you know, talk about who do you think is going to ultimately win this game? The Ravens open up as 3.5-point favorites. So how do you see this one going on Sunday night?
Yeah, and I guess, you know, with home field, that's really like a six, almost a touchdown, you know, game. So I consider that to be accurate. I really do think the Ravens will probably win. And it's not to say the Jaguars can't bounce back and can't win this game. It's more just the Ravens are rolling, the Jaguars are not. And that's sort of where it's at, in that the Jaguars, it seems like they still have a lot to get over, a lot to work on. The communication issues that they've been having on defense, which again, and actually it's something that I'm going to write about later this week, is that, you know, they talked about it after the game Monday night, how the crowd noise affected the defense. And that's tough. You know, when you have a defense that's supposed to feed off of the crowd noise, not get necessarily, you know, discombobulated with the crowd noise, it's tough to see it with, you know, potentially backup players playing, you know, different guys moving in and out with a team like the Ravens that run the ball a lot of, you know, read option kind of stuff that you have to be able to signal to your guys. It's going to be interesting to see. And I just don't see the Jaguars coming out with this win. You know, I've been, you know, picking the Jags almost every week for the past, you know, couple months, but I think this is the week where I have to go a different direction.
Well, yeah. And especially the home struggles are real. What are they? I believe they're 2-4 at home this season. And a couple of times they've been absolutely shellacked by the 49ers, by the Texans. So, you know, if I'm a Jaguars fan, then I'm a little bit worried about this one.
Absolutely. I mean, there is no home field advantage this year for the Jaguars. At least it seems like, you know, you can get into it and kind of figure out why they actually lost those games. It's not necessarily just because they're in Jacksonville, but there is something to it. And so, yeah, it's tough to see them winning. I mean, this is a game you almost just crossed it out, you know, before the season. It was one of those. So it's going to be tough. And I'm not sure that they're going to be up for it. But, you know, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, if this game was in London, I might take the Jaguars, because boy, did they look good when they were over there.
Yeah, apparently they bonded there. So
yeah. Well, Demetrius, I think we've covered the offense, the defense, the playoff implications. Is there any other storylines or anything else about this game that you would like to get in front of the audience?
No, I mean, it's going to be interesting. It's a great matchup, even though the Jaguars have been on sort of a struggle lately. I do think that they're a good team, and I do think that this is a perfect marquee matchup for them to get rolling and sort of see their way into the playoffs. And I do think that this will be important. Hey, you never know. Maybe seeding will come into play, even at 8-5 and potentially 12-5 at the end if they went out. So, you know, it's an important game. It's something to get excited about. I know fans are really excited, kind of. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. And I do think, you know, Trevor Lawrence, Doug Peterson, if there's anybody that can sort of get this ship rolling and beat the Ravens when we don't expect them to, I think it's them. So, yeah, you know, and all the coverage that I'm going to be doing over the course of the week, you can find it on Jacksonville.com. So.
Alrighty, and of course, this game is going to be at 8:20 p.m. on Sunday night, National Spotlight, NBC. It's going to be a classic. It's always great when these two get together and you have Lamar Jackson, Trevor Lawrence, and all the big stars. Demetrius, where can people find you on social media aside from reading your work at Jacksonville.com?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter or X at Demetrius82, and don't really use Instagram or anything like that. I think I've told you guys that. So just Twitter, really. Demetrius82.
Yeah, people got to join the tens of thousands of people that follow you, Demetrius. You have legions of fans.
I appreciate all of them, too. Well, most of them.
Absolutely. Well, Demetrius, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for being here, and I look forward to talking to you again real soon. And hopefully, for the Jaguars' sake, we'll be discussing the playoffs.
All right. Thank you for having me on.
And that will do it for this episode of the State of Florida Sports Podcast. I'm Tim Walters, and to quote legendary Jaguars head coach Tom Coughlin, the calendar and the clock are all set by football season and the off season. So true, Tom. Thanks for listening, and join us again next time.